Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Owen Butler, and I am the captain of the shit ship, as you know. Tonight, I am on a little journey. I've been traveling around the beautiful city of Atlanta. And I'll tell you this, it's a lot better than I remembered it. It's been about 10 years since I've been in this place. But before I, say much more about that, I'll say that we're going to be doing a little bonus episode right now, and I think I'm going to call it Late Night with Owen in Atlanta. Really original, right?
I love the title. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you.
And, there's a guy that lives in Atlanta.
Hey now. Hey now.
I've decided to come visit while I'm here. That's a little, stop in.
For sure.
You know? And that guy is my good friend Tom Barilli, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
So it's it's a little Ono at night.
I like that. It's Ono at night. It has a nice ring to
Ono
it.
Ono at night in Atlanta right
first,
now.
For the first one in the dirty south.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeling extra dirty tonight, too.
Well, when I landed on the plane, the stewardess was like, welcome to Hotlanta.
And then she said it like that?
And then she stopped herself. And then she was...
Recorrected herself.
She stopped herself and she's like, well, actually, it's not really hot right now. But... because we're coming from Orlando and we're leaving 85 degree, 90 degree temperatures and we're landing and it's fucking 52 degrees or four. I was thinking it was like 48, 52, somewhere in that.
Definitely.
Man, 50 degree range. I'm like, fuck, it's not hot. Is that hot, Atlanta? That
you have been corrected. I love it that they corrected her.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about now. We're all about correcting people in this world.
Well, that's what we do.
That's what we do. But we don't do it here. We don't judge. Cheers to that.
No, we don't. And
invisible cheers.
And right now, we are sitting down in Tom's lovely apartment.
Oh, thank you, sir.
In Atlanta. We're exactly in Atlanta. What area of Atlanta are we in right now?
We're in Brookhaven, Georgia.
Brookhaven.
Which is a northeastern diameter to downtown Atlanta. But we are in the perimeter, hanging, having a good kind of damp, almost very somber Georgia afternoon and evening here.
It's actually been like pretty shitty since I got here, to be honest with you. It's been
macabre. I think macabre is a good word.
Yeah, it's been gray and wet and cold.
Yes.
As it's been about as close to English weather as I think it gets.
And how apropos that today we decided to pair that with actually going to a quasi English pub.
Well, it was Atlanta's best, like...
The bat and ball.
Well, it was Atlanta's best shot at a
The
British
best
pub.
Shot. Sure, right down the street from my place. And
they tried to make it off.
They did. There was enough of the woodwork and the certain vibe.
It's
it
cute.
It's cute. And coming from a man from straight over the pond, I gauged you seem to have an okay time, so that's good.
No. It was fun. It was actually a good little place, and they had a decent fish and chips, but it felt appropriate for today, seriously, to actually just kind of...
Yeah.
Go to a British pub and, like, on a cold day, like, you don't want to be out, like, sitting on a patio anywhere and trying to, and most times, that's, like, where I want to be, right? I want to be outside. I love the outside.
Something about it.
Yeah. I'd much rather, like, sit on the porch of a restaurant or that type of thing than I would sit inside most time. No. Today is a sit inside.
Yeah.
Bundle up.
Oh, yeah. Layers. Wear some layers.
Yeah, wear some layers. Take off a layer when you get in. Hang it up on a coat rack. And they had all that. And I had some, good beer. And it was good fish and chips.
Yeah, man.
And I give it about a 3.5 stars.
That's a solid review, man.
That's a three and a half stars.
And we're giving it all, obviously today was a really gray, kind of macabre day. And it did. For the indoor atmosphere, I'd say that's a perfect review for it.
Yeah, and then we came back and we are now hanging at Tom's place again in Atlanta.
Casa de Tom.
Would you say Buckhead? Bucket?
We're in
Buckethead?
Brookhaven.
Oh, but it's near the Bucketheads.
It's near Buckhead. I like Buckethead. I wish I lived near a place called Buckethead.
I'm pretty sure Buckethead lives around the
And
corner.
I think Buckethead is so much more badass of a town name and a musician name at that. Hey. Buckethead rocks, dude.
But it's a really cool place you got here.
Thanks, brother.
You've been in Georgia now for how many months?
I mean, I'm really rolling up on my fourth month here, man. How time flies,
It seems longer.
Right?
It seems longer, weirdly.
Does it, man?
It's, yeah.
My perception of time is, I'm surprised how long it's actually been. I still feel very young in Atlanta. It's sure. a weird feeling for me to sure. be here on the ground, but...
Well, you don't have any friends in Atlanta yet.
Not really, man. No, I'm still just like the stranger guy, you know.
Yeah, well, you're the like weirdo from out of town.
Sure, dude.
Yeah.
I have like a work friend who I like. I hang out. We hang out with this guy. He's got a wife and whatever, and so we'll go out like on the occasional like
double
almost
date
obligated
or, right.
like hang out
yeah
kind of evening thing, you know, like work buddy thing. And that's always kind of macabre. Maybe not macabre, but I want to say, like, Catherine described it beautifully. I said, what do you think of this guy and his girlfriend? And she said, they're vanilla.
Very vanilla. They're boring. They're boring.
Like, I was like...
That's the nicest way, though.
And I
got to
agree with her.
Boring.
They're nice. They're just vanilla, you know?
They're vanilla.
And they're vanilla compared to...
they're milk toast.
Yeah, here I go. They're milk toast, yeah. Compared to my, I don't know.
Your Ono
my pistachio ice cream friends from Orlando.
Dude, don't compare me.
The different flavors.
See, I like pistachios, but don't compare me to pistachio ice cream.
All right, well, you got to hit that note higher then. You got to tell me what's the gold standard?
I'm kind of a Rocky Road type guy.
I'm a big Rocky Road fan.
I think Rocky Road's there's another one that's got more. There's like, it's like Rocky Road, but it's
nuttier.
Got more nuts. Yeah, it's got more nuts in it. I'm a big fan of that.
I like nut in my ice cream.
I want chunks of nut. chunks of nut. By the way,
chunks of nut.
Great punk band name.
That's a sick name. I would download that EP.
I like the chunks of everything. I like the chocolate chunks,
you know? The peanut buttery chunks. That's like the new thing with different like ice creams. Like I noticed Catherine will buy like Ben and Jerry's, and that's how they like sell you now. They're like core. It's like a chocolate core.
I've had that.
Cookie core. But when they say core, all they mean is it's just a big piece of raw something in the middle of the ice cream.
Yeah, basically they didn't even take the time.
It's
to
like
chop,
hey,
pick chop
to
the
this
mother-
cookie dough blob.
No. Yeah.
How about through this ice cream?
How about you guys chop that motherfucking shit up and like interdispense it perfectly within the ice cream?
No, but they can't do that. It's got to be one giant magma-like core.
No, I don't like that.
I don't know, man. But that's the trend, dude. It's all about like you get more if you dig for it.
What are we flying over London right now? What's
going
on?
Yeah, we're chilling. I got my Apple iTV or Apple TV. I can't even know what it's called right now. My Apple TV screensaver, and all they've done now is put these like, it's just all it does is cycle through these drone shots.
Okay, it is bizarre because I have these I have the Apple TV, and they have different cities that you can watch.
And apparently, it refreshes it and like gives you new ones.
It's bizarre though because it's like it's so slow, but that it makes it look like this everlasting, ever. I haven't quite figured out the technology behind it. But it makes me feel like I'm flying really slowly.
Well, what they're doing...
Oh, we're going to a different place now?
Ooh, that's,
oh,
that's,
shit, where are we going?
That's pretty. I don't know. Okay, all they've done, and I could tell you this from a production standpoint, is they've just shot a drone flying over this city at a really high frame rate. So they probably shot it at like 120 frames per second or even double that, 240 frames per second. They shot a super fast frame rate on a really high-end camera, and we're watching it back at like 24 frames per second.
No one cares about that.
But what I'm saying, though, is the illusion of like how slow and and silky it is. Those motherfuckers nailed it, man.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like the way technology's going with all these shots too. You can literally.
It's so pretty, though, dude.
Yeah, it is pretty,
and it's terrifying. I mean, if you were flying like this in this perspective over the city, you shit your pants.
Absolutely, and like, I think well,
like unabridgedly. Just
well, it's
flying.
I mean, even you know, it's this technology that it like allows you to like take a picture from super far away or just with super high resolution and be able to like zoom in so close to you know, like it's the stuff of like honestly like that Orwellian dream, like zoom on a license plate from a satellite image, and we know we have all of that, but this is like this is interesting. Like it's resolutions with cameras, I think, are going to get so good.
They've grown so exponentially in the past even decade. You know what I mean? Like we've gone from having consumer level to professional level, like, imagery on our personal cell phones. Like, we can shoot what they're shooting commercials at. Literally, like, size-wise, we are there.
Yeah.
So we're in this weird parallel dimension of, like, there is, like, there's professional and there's prosumer.
Exactly.
And those worlds are melding together in a weird way of mediocrity. But
the prosumer is sometimes almost as good, if not better, than the actual professional products.
Yeah, for sure, man. And half of the battle, I think, too, is, like, you know, you release the technology, you can only await for the artist to embrace it.
Well, I'll tell you where it's really been embraced. Porn.
Oh, for sure.
100%.
Porn is a pioneer
and
for big tech.
It usually is. And it's... I guarantee you, I can't guarantee anything, but I really do probably think that there is a high chance that there's a high percentage of porn now that's strictly being developed and shot on phones.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even being...
Like, shot on phones to be consumed on phones.
Yeah.
To be watched and actually downloaded. And that's crazy. It's crazy, man. And that's it, too. It's, like, truly... Like, you think about it. Like, you know, people made movies back in the 70s and 80s because that's what you did. No one had phones. You went to movie theaters. You paid ticket prices to watch these things. And then after it had a shelf life from a home video perspective. Now, people don't even want to go to that extent. It's in their hands. It's on a phone. It's obtainable. It's quick. It's easy.
There's Snapchat porn now.
Sure, man.
Snapchat.
Social media.
You do the Snapchat.
I have stopped doing the Snapchat.
You did it more. I never really got into
it.
I did.
I had a stint of using it for a few months, and what I found was it's just generic and boring in the end.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do to communicate on it, and I think that it just lacks its luster. You know, it's like once Instagram came out with a very similar function, it just gave you that on a platform you already liked, and that's where I fell off Snapchat. I just went to Instagram. I'm like, oh, I can do it on Instagram. So see you.
Sure.
You
know? I'm not a big fan of Instagram. I know I'm kind of alone
for sure.
on that.
And I don't, honestly, I'm sure you have very valid reasons why you don't like it.
It's just kind of like, it's a vanity project.
Oh, totally. It is a complete depiction of your meta self.
And not to say Facebook isn't, but at least with Facebook, like, there is sort of the general idea that, like, anything can be shared there, right? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
And it's not limited to this picture that is describing this incident. And I understand that can be entertaining to just flip through, you know, pictures of what's going on in people's lives. And it's a good way to tell a story, right? Pictures worth 1,000 words. I just find it usually ends up becoming... Again, like a vanity project. It's a sense of just like...
Well, it is very... I mean, you cannot not admit that it's a very self-centered medium.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And that's what
all social media really is.
Very much so. Yeah. It's presenting a perspective on your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That you've set up. That you have handpicked that for people to see. Which is super interesting that we're allowed that even freedom, you know? As our identities, because then you parallel that. Okay, not to get deep, but you parallel that to your real life.
You can get deep as you want,
where buddy. It's like you live your life, and
it's
other people
not, it's
who
oh no
don't
at night.
Know you. It is oh no at night. It can get weirder. It can get deeper.
Yeah,
get deeper, deeper. We need an effect pedal. We don't have it. But regardless, like you parallel that to your life, as people know you in your real life, like people from your job, and they all just have a one-dimensional idea of you. Right? They're like this guy. I work with him. Whatever. So the idea of your ego in comparison to your real life on the online is just exemplified. It's like, it's magnified.
Yep.
It's magnified in a point that, like, you may never even talk to this person in your life for maybe 10 years, but guess what? You go, that dude said this funny thing about something that made me laugh and I liked it. And maybe it just made you remember that person for that little moment of time. But it's like, isn't that fucking, that always blows my mind. Is we're so close to people, but we're so far away.
We're so far away, but also isn't it? I mean, to play the devil's advocate, I guess I'd say, like, there are a lot of negatives and a lot of weird social tendencies and habits that come out of social media. But isn't it better to at least have the option of the technology to be able to have that, right, than to not have that at all?
Yeah.
Like, there is something...
I think that's totally...
You know, there's an argument to be made, like, that social media is, you know, has brought the world closer together, and
it has done that in some instances.
In some instances,
sure.
It's just because people use it for negative, you know, or its uses are being construed as negative or can be negative, doesn't mean that they're always negative.
Right.
I guess that's what I'm. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to take that technology away by any means or limit it. I think that there's just a responsible way. Like, the crazy thing that I heard, and there's a lot of studies about this, is the dopamine like releases that people get when they get the little red bubbles,
right?
And they check their phone and they check their phone. Ooh, someone liked my post, or ooh, someone commented. Like, there is a dopamine hit that comes from that.
It's crazy.
That can be as addictive as like a cigarette.
Like a cigarette.
And it's a thing that the people fall into traps of. And I'm a cigarette smoker, and I understand the awful consequences that come with, you know, long term smoking
or withdrawal.
Yes, exactly. But I honestly think that what one is doing with their mind with social media can almost be as bad.
Oh, for sure, dude. And you know? If not long-term effects.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think too, we are so on the pioneer of figuring out even newer disorders that are going to be created by what we have all been part of. Well, for so many years,
we're creating disorders.
Yeah, we have been.
We're creating disorders by accident.
We are, and we've yet to see really them be devastating, and then we've yet to see side effects. But they are being created. We are living in those times of, like you're saying, it's like our brains are literally craving it. We're craving this justification from this meta life.
It's sensory
that we've created
overload,
of ourselves.
Is it not?
Oh, it's it to
a
the
little
nth,
bit.
Nth degree. Yeah.
You know, and it's every facet of our lives. It's from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. I mean, it's just like, all right,
we're slaves.
We were just talking about how cool the Apple TV screensaver is and how high resolution these pictures are, right?
As we're watching it right now.
That literally goes to my point. It's just at the most mundane thing, this screensaver is so beautiful and sensory, like,
yeah,
just
sensory.
Incredible, right? Like, right? So
It's titillating,
yeah, but that's just like one little factor, right? Like that. Yeah. That's like everywhere you look. Like that is like literally our lives now, you know. And
shit's faster.
And you've got yoga pants, and you've got fucking.
It's coming at you like 1,000 miles
per hour.
I mean,
I still haven't gotten over the thong song from the '90s. I mean that
yoga pants accentuated that to the fucking nth degree.
Sexiest music video ever made. Go to Tom.
I'm going to say it's probably some Janet Jackson one.
Dude, you know, that's my jam. Like, that Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson is hot, dude. Janet Jackson
back
did it
in
for
the
me
day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Janet.
For sure, dude.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right.
Guilty pledge.
Some sexy music videos.
Down here on Oh No at Night. We're totally admitting to it.
There was an... Oh, what was it? It wasn't TLC. Hang on.
It's coming to you.
Salt and Peppa, baby. There's a Salt and Peppa video.
All right. Yeah,
bang both Salt and Peppa, by the way.
At the same time?
Oh, at the same time.
A little Salt and Peppa?
And Peppa, yeah.
Wow, man, that's the ultimate fantasy.
Yeah.
That's a well-seasoned sex life.
Hey, it really is.
Insert snare hit.
Mm-mm.
It's just cool, man. We're just chilling, man. We are. We're watching. We're like coasting over the ocean on our Apple screensaver in front of us.
Talking about banging 90s hip hop, you know.
Icons. They're like old and sad now, you know. I've seen pictures of
Didn't
Salt
one of
and
them
Pepper.
Die? Didn't know.
No, that's Wait. TLC.
Yeah.
We lost Left Eye.
We lost Left Eye.
Left Eye got cray, and she and like then, she died in an inferno like a blaze of glory.
And then one of them got sickle cell.
Maybe Tenda?
No. It was Chili.
Oh, Chili had that?
I think she got that sickle cell, dog.
I hope. Well, here's to Chili. Cheers to Chili. Yeah. She was one of my faves, actually.
Is that racist that I said that?
No, I don't think that we.
Can we talk about sickle cell without it being racist?
Or tying
Is that allowed these days?
To the pop group TLC.
We've been having a lot of conversations about what's allowed and what's not allowed to talk about.
I've enjoyed. We've had a very open forum of conversation since you've been here. We're all talky people.
Well, yeah, and you know, of course, Tom has a lovely, lovely girlfriend, Catherine.
Thank you.
And
in her defense, she's not here right now.
Yeah, she is.
She's
gone to bed.
Being a doll, sleeping.
Yeah.
Letting us oh no at night here.
She's kind of a feminist, but
she's very much a feminist.
In a nice way, we've been having like conversations about like a lot of what's been going on with Weinstein thing and what's acceptable.
Very relevant shit.
And relevant stuff, right? And ultimately, I think more than anything, not that like anything was necessarily answered. We talked about a lot of really, you know, kind of existential stuff, or just like
it got there.
Yeah. But even if like we never agreed, I think we all agreed on the fact that having any sort of conversation about it is a win, right?
Like, for sure, we did say that.
Yeah.
And I think we ended with thinking that way in a way that I think everybody should look at this whole
thing.
Exactly. Is that as much as like you might go into it with conflicting sides or even questions, mm-hmm. if you just strike up the conversation and talk about it, you end with it being way more satisfying than it was when you started.
That's important to answer. It's important to ask the questions.
Always.
And
ask the questions from different perspectives.
Yep.
If it's men talking to men, men talking to women and mm-hmm. men all at the same time, no matter what your audience is, it's still just opening it up and hearing different perspectives. Because that's the problem, is like, if we don't talk about them and there aren't conflicting perspectives, well, what the fuck? You know? Like, we're not any further along than we've been from the beginning.
And here's a serious point. I never got to, you know, bring this up to Kath, and I would love it if she was out here to, you know, answer this.
Hold on,
I'm
gonna go
wait
for this. Just
no,
hold on.
Don't.
Right, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna bring this microphone into the bedroom.
Well, you know, apart from my wife, and then you know, a couple of her friends, and a couple of my friends, I don't have many female cool chicks to like ask a question, right?
Yeah.
There's only a handful. Like,
yeah, well,
is,
I feel
is
the same
kind of
way.
Thing.
In
Whereas,
life,
like,
in my life, at least.
Yeah, you've got way more dudes you could ask questions about
a
situation than you
but
do.
But I don't need no sausage party.
Yeah, because that's kind of how it works. And, like, you don't want to ask just maybe, like, someone at work this question or whatever, right?
Yeah, random stranger.
So, I think it's important to note that for a lot of guys, I think it's the same way.
Yeah.
That they don't have, like, a lot of...
That outlet.
Well, that outlet. Yeah. The ability to to ask a cool chick a question.
That's
because...
That's kind of true.
You know? Like, that is... That's just a reality.
Yeah. It's a fact.
You know? They got their... You know? Talk about it. Like, all right. There could be this nerd. And a lot of this nerd culture can be very misogynistic, by the way.
And it turns angry.
Angry, misogynistic, all this. Well, those dudes don't have... Apart from their mother and their sister and maybe, like, that one friend somewhere that's, like...
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of women to talk to, so they don't know how to do it.
That's a pretty good assessment, yeah.
And
I agree with you.
You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say really here, but it's like... It's nice to be able to have...
An accessible woman to talk to.
Yeah, apart from my own wife.
I hear what you're saying.
You know?
And I hear what you're saying when you're, not to answer your issue for you, but what you said about nerd culture and their issue is I do think, too, that like...
If they had someone
also,
to talk to.
Also, women seem to be held at this weird unobtainable level to some kind of nerd culture, to where like they idolize women and there's the whole weird cosplay sexuality culture. intertwined with that idea of lust, and I do think it turns negative, and I think it does turn, there's a hostility toward women.
Well, they,
and I think that's, I think they, the they unhealthiness, it's that's an, like the unhealthy, you know, aspect of that weird culture.
Yeah, it's an objectification issue.
Sure,
it's,
yeah.
It's
But we,
forgetting
we,
they're real people because they're used to dealing with fictional characters.
Right, they're not objects. They're actual people that they can talk to. And
they're not used to that.
They're not used to that, and I do think that's a really strange culture. But if that culture, and a lot of cultures when it comes to between men and women, could learn to talk to each other or feel there was an obtainable member of that you know, area to talk to, they could comfortably have conversations about it.
I think we, you know, one of the main things we talked about was, you know, again, like this culture of what's right and wrong to say to a woman, you know, where is it crossing the line and all this, you know,
especially that boundary.
The boundary that's, and she brought up some great points, you know, that number one, like whenever it crosses into like at the workplace, that's an obvious, like that is
a no-go,
cross the line, no-go. That is 100% then, like, obviously you're either using your power or it's just inappropriate in general.
Right, right.
You know, sex in the workplace are two different things. You keep them separate.
Yeah. Unless you're watching some weird porn.
Right. Well, unless you are in the porn industry or I don't know, whatever. But
where it's appropriate for your accountant to just blow you in the middle of the afternoon in their office.
And I think we all agree that that probably isn't, you know, ever appropriate. But what we did agree on as well was that there's an overreaction from the, I guess, the other side of things, which makes it seem like, all these rules of male-female engagement now really kind of just make it feel like it's impossible for a dude to even talk to a chick.
Yeah, man. Right? It makes it, well, what it does, it
just
puts,
because
it
you're
puts
attracted
this,
to a woman now,
yeah,
you're misogynistic. You had a,
that
you
was
had
a really sexual, good conversation today.
You know, you had a sexual attraction like to a person. Like, it's no,
because there's a certain, now there's a certain levity to it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Now because of current events, where it's just like intention is immediately questionable,
without a doubt.
But at the same time, though, I think we only grow and become stronger if, like, between men and women, we will learn to look beyond that and just understand why we got there in the first place.
Like,
just understand that, like, there's appropriate and there's inappropriate.
It's going to be the conversation of every
now
new relationship.
Kind of
it's going to be the honestly a conversation of every new relationship for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
if not longer, of course. And it should be. I understand that, you know, this is a time of change that we can use, you know, in a positive manner, that we can really, you know, take a look at issues that are, you know, quite frankly, kind of disgusting.
Yeah, that's true.
But just because I see a chick at a bar and I find her attractive, and that's the reason, that's the catalyst for me to start up a conversation with her, because, ooh, wow, you know?
You're hitting on her.
Yeah, I'm hitting on her. Just because I'm hitting on a chick now.
But is it hitting on a chick anymore?
Right. Like, now I can be seen as this, like, now that's seen as wrong.
A predatorial being.
Like,
I don't know, man.
That's dumb as fuck. I'm
well,
gonna ta- well
I
to me,
I hope it doesn't become as black and white as that.
Sure.
I really don't.
But it's becoming that way. And, well, and there are people
the
that
climate
have,
on a very
have,
bigger stage
looked,
right now,
you know,
is like that.
I
no one in the larger limelight of things are safe right now.
I think everything,
it's unquestionable. It's just like, dude, it's anything is possible, man. We're gonna pull from the 80s, the 70s, the 60s. We're gonna dig deep, and this is gonna go on for a while, and then it will end.
If there's if there's only one thing that I sort of get, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree wholeheartedly with, but about people that have voted Trump, it is this one simple fact that they agree that things have gotten way too politically correct, and that nothing can
Uber that politically correct.
And most of the things that those people believe, that there's a lot of them, I'll just say, that you know, they're wrong about that's not just being politically correct. That's just like, that's fucked, right?
Right.
So there's that, and I'm not. But at the same time, there's also things where, yeah, I can see why, like, it's, you know, sort of understood that this is societally wrong, but why? And there are quite a few things like that that are just like these borderline, like, I don't know, almost too obvious issues.
Oh yeah,
you
so
know,
many, dude. That, I mean, we so many. I mean, if we're talking about that, we're talking about just so many, man. There's so many. I couldn't even know where to start.
Well, honestly, like, half of it, like, it gets rid of comedy. It gets rid of, like, it gets rid of being able to say anything. And when you get too politically correct, you do start limiting, like, the power of free speech. Like, that's a big part of it, too.
You know, I think back to, we talked about it earlier tonight in our conversations, and we hit upon this one notion that I truly do believe in. And it's where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when a statement,
oh, I'm
or
a big
something,
proponent of that.
Or that, you know, where something is coming from is really sometimes hard to detect. But if you know the person and you understand where it's coming from, there's a mutual understanding of a comment, of something said. And
that thing
in
that,
jest, and the word I say in jest, is just saying, like,
you can make a tasteless joke in jest. And that tasteless joke,
in comedy,
that tasteless joke can just be either a tasteless joke or can be actually offensive. And that actually offensive part, I think, is where, like, the root of where it's coming from and being delivered, for
okay.
sure.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel that way, and I just feel like my closest friends or my closest just kind of commentators in my life, I just feel like there is that mutual understanding that, like, I understand these people have apathy. I understand these people do care and they are genuinely good people, but it's like, in the jest of comedy,
I'm gonna even just say it here.
Whatever.
It's literally just because I've said the word nigger means like I can't be like a person anymore. Like, I'm dead, right? Like, in some people's minds.
Exactly.
There's absolutely no context just because it left your mouth.
It's gone.
So it's
an imprint.
Right. Fuck that. I don't believe that.
I think it's all in the context of
it's
what
all in the context
said too.
And there are multiple sides to taking the power away. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying about that?
100%.
So
the power is owned on each side of it. We talked about it too. It's like, there's the element of, like, look, you know, a word has particular power.
And
to
I
it.
Didn't just say that in jest. I said that, of course, like, as, like, explanatory.
Of course, right.
But people will freak out just literally because I said the word, right?
You said the N-word. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's dumb as fuck.
And you said it in Atlanta.
Ooh.
So right now, like, about 50 different people are already awake.
I'll tell you what. There's a lot of fine black folk here. I've met a lot of really fine white, black, Puerto Rican. No. I've met a lot of, like, really cool people here. And a lot of them just happen to be black. Is that a racist thing to say? No. Every single Uber driver, I've had four of them now since I've been here.
Yeah.
Every single one has been a black dude. And one have been awesome.
And pleasant trip.
And I shouldn't have to sound surprised, you know? Like, I'm not, because I'm not surprised in that. Yeah. That's not what I mean by it, you know? It's the...
What amazes me is that there are people in this world that have literally lived in a life, have grown up in a life to be afraid of people of an opposite race or an opposite kind of disposition.
That I don't get.
But I know people like that. I know people that are timid around African Americans and intimidated around, you know, Hispanic people, and it's like, to me, it's disposition. It's how you were taught.
Yeah.
It's how you were brought up, man.
And also,
and
just have a conversation.
And have a conversation to try to, like, treat people as,
like,
your equals.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that more in life. It's just like,
well, we
know,
shouldn't
man.
Have to, right?
It's like, sad. You never should have to, but we do.
And I, as dumb as it sounds, like it was an offensive joke when Stephen Colbert used to do it. That he used to do the, I'm colorblind. I don't see race, right? Like, he used to do that.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was one of his, like, ongoing bits. But in a way, like, why the fuck? Like, in a way, it's right, you know? Like, why the fuck do you even have to, like, make that a thing?
Why do you?
You know, why do you have to, you know, but...
We shouldn't see that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we do.
But we should also...
And I'll be honest with you, what helps curb us that way is... society and propaganda and what we watch on TV and what shapes us as people.
Well, even bigger than that, we shouldn't feel guilty for even talking about, you know, like...
No. I feel, too, we put too much power on a word when you say a word and you recoil from it, and it literally makes you like, shiver, you know? Like,
yeah.
And you think about it, like, you know, you said nigger. You said that earlier. And it's like... People, like, say that word, and I see people just have a complete physical and mental reaction to that word. And the saddest part is that it's people and history that made a word have a context.
Correct.
And so when we say it, we resonate a feeling that affects us, and we show it and express it. And I guess what is the real... And what is the real end game of something like that? Is that the correct response to a word like that? Is it supposed to make us feel and then reflect and then learn again? Like, as people, like as white people saying that word? Because it does have a very horrible negative connotation to
it. It's weird how much power it has.
Power in a word. Power, dude. So much power. Like, it'll silence a room.
I don't know that I have the answer to it, but I'll bring up something very interesting. And there's an area of Canada, I don't know the exact specifics on this, but their radio jurisdiction on their FM bandwave have decided that fuck has been such a commonplace word for so long that it's not considered vulgar anymore to their community, and nice. They can say fuck on
air.
They
say fuck openly.
So I'm not saying that that's the answer with the N-word, and I don't want to repeatedly use it, because that's silly.
I never feel a need to, you know? That's the thing.
There isn't,
of us actually just referring to it now, I think we're only referring to it in example.
Yes, and to make a point,
the fact that it is one of the more stronger, poignant, really painful words that are said. And that are constantly brought back to. And unfortunately, there's so many that are like that do resonate a feeling and an emotion.
Exactly. You can tell a lot of the slurs against the Jews. You could learn, you know, there's a lot of them, you know, there's one for everything.
Everything has a horrible kind of, you know, a horrible side.
But honestly, some worse than others, especially with the N-word, with, you know, this nation's history and with slavery, and we're still so close to it, right?
Yeah, very much so.
And I go back and forth on whether or not using it more, like if the black community owning it, and you know,
yeah,
and kind of turning it around in their own way, like do we just? We can't just like acknowledge that doesn't exist either. Like, and I don't necessarily want to use that word, but I also don't feel like people need to be like crucified if like they're trying to make a point with a word,
using it in the appropriate context.
And that's happened a lot of times. That's also happened with, you know, that's also happened with the word faggot.
Yep, that's another one that has definitely been used, and I think it's been used freely, and it's also been used within...
And I don't feel good saying any of those words.
No, I don't like them at all.
And that's why I don't say them, but someone shouldn't... Like, if someone's making a joke and calling his bro a faggot, all right, here's the deal. That guy's lame as fuck to begin with, right? That is a bro from 1999 that's doing that. Yeah. There isn't much of that going on. But if he does, Should he be considered a homophobic piece of shit? No.
He called his boy a faggot.
Yeah.
Was his boy just drinking? Was his boy drinking a Zima with a fucking Jolly Rancher in it?
Everybody's so quick with everything these days to jump to the worst possible case. Like, worst, you
we
know,
are.
Case scenario.
Isn't that the truth, though? We
and
go
it's
to the
just
worst.
Like everybody wants to just be like, oh.
His intentions or her intentions were the
worst. Obviously,
that
guy did one little thing wrong. I know. Guess what? That guy is the biggest piece of shit on planet
Earth. It tips him right over the edge.
Yeah, it makes more sense to do that.
It does. We're so much, yeah, we're so much more ample to crucify before we already even hear anybody out. I mean, that is the kind of culture we've developed, especially online, when a judgment can be so quick and brutal and so efficient and calculated.
I think we're all guilty until proven innocent now.
I agree. I've always felt that way as well. I think everybody is due that liberty, but what a time, man. We are judge,
why did we
juror,
get so
and
deep?
Why
did we
get
so deep? I don't know why we got so deep.
I think we got deep because this is Oh No
at Night.
Need to get a sexy like intro song to Oh No at Night. You and Ty should do it.
I like it. I think we'll do more of these over time.
I like these. I've done this before. You and Duncan did these for a while.
I've done them with a couple different people, actually. Like these weird Oh No at Nights where we just kind of throw on the microphone, no agenda, spouting off, like drunk as fuck, you know, spouting off at our goddamn, out of our buttholes. And then...
Some butthole philosophy is always the best philosophy.
Mind vomit. Something like that.
Yeah, man. Verbal diarrhea.
That's
it kind of makes it, man. I don't know. Sometimes the most freest of thought is when you're not trying to make sense at all.
So, okay. Since you've been here.
Yeah.
What has been your most Georgia moment? Because you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Well, like Georgia moment as in what the as in the stereotypical like what people think Georgia is.
Well, yeah. Like what is the most like, oh goddamn, I'm in Georgia.
I've had this big issue since I've moved here with pickup trucks.
Okay.
Is that I think pickup trucks have this kind of masculinity to them as all hell, to where like they don't park right in parking spaces. They cut you off. They kind of just are bullies on the road. They're visibly obnoxious looking. Like, people just soup up their fucking pickups. Like,
I could see Cletus in his truck.
And it's
taking
so
a look at your car, too. And
my
being
Mazda
like,
5. Look at this faggot mobile.
Exactly.
And there he uses the faggot word on me. See? Yep. We're bringing it back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I see it. 100%.
And then he edges you off the road.
Right.
And,
Yeah. Your little Mazda 5.
Mm-hmm. Mazda.
Go cry to your Mazda.
Uh-huh. I've been fucking your mama. You know he's going to like do something like
Hells
that.
Hells yeah. They could run me over like a monster truck in their fucking jacked up fucking Silverado.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of that, man. There's a lot of masculinity in the trucks down here. Up here.
What's the most popular truck, you think? You got the F-150.
The Chevy.
Is the Chevy the big deal?
I see the Chev everywhere, man. I see it. Right. Yeah. It's heavy. Chevy. Just a lot of souped up. I don't know, though. I can't say it's brand specific. I see lots of Fords. They're just really big, jacked up fucking pickup trucks.
You know, Fords. You know,
that's American.
Well,
not anymore.
He's a bit of a Nazi. You know that, right?
Oh, for sure, dude.
Apparently, Ford did some like dealings with some Germans.
Of course, he did.
Now he's
collusion.
Look that up. That's not even conspiracy.
Tin hat shit.
You know what I watched the other day? You remember Norm Macdonald?
I love Norm. I love his podcast, man.
He's the man. He's got the best Hitler jokes.
Oh man, I've laughed like really hardcore at his podcast. He's such a train wreck too.
It's so hard to do it because only Norm could really do it.
Pace is so Norm McDonald-y.
The other day, I was watching a documentary on
it's so chewy
on on Hitler. Yeah, Hitler. Turns out he was, I couldn't believe it, but turns out, I've come to think about this after watching the documentary, that he might have been a, he might have been a pretty bad guy. Yeah. It's just, I can't do it. That's not a good norm, but.
Yeah, it's pretty, you have his timing down.
It's Norm's a tough nut to crack.
He's a tough nut to crack. He's interesting, dude. He's got an interesting talky narrative. I like his his perspective is pretty good.
That's that Canadian. There's something, yeah, there's something weird with those Canadians, too. They got a different way of thinking.
Oh, for sure, dude. Different wavelength.
I was hanging out with my buddy Matthew and his parents the other night. They're all Canadian, eh? And
they got the accents?
They got a whole different thing there.
See, they got the uplifting kind of like tune in their voice.
Oh, they do. They got a bit of sing-songy to them. Just like, well, a lot of my family, like my English side doesn't, because they're all like boring as shit. But my Welsh side has the sing-songy. Like they're all.
It's interesting. It's in the candor and like the conversation.
The English are boring as shit though. Like my dad's like up rummy. Oh.
Everybody sounds like, like an audiobook.
Did you have the DVD? Did you get that message I left you? Bit. Like, it's very...
Like one tone.
Yeah, it's one note.
One note, like,
you know, one note, Dad.
Like, all of them have the same...
All these years, you never tried another one? You never bothered with that?
Never? Yeah.
You didn't even give it a shot?
Adjust the volume on a couple of these ones?
Yeah. I mean, I'm bad with my volume of modulation, but...
No, but people do have a particular different kind of modulation.
Yeah.
I feel it. Even Southerners have a different kind of modulation. You get a lot of them up here. They're just very... It's a very drawly conversation, you know? Almost a heightened at times where you wonder, like, are they just overdoing it? Or is this really the pep of their drawl?
No, it's what... It's on... You can't control it.
Yeah.
It's the same as the Welsh. The Welsh are just like, there we are then. It's they got this, like, stop talking like
you're fucking telling me a fucking tale.
Yeah, it's. Would you like a cup of tea? They go, just you want to go, just chill down, calm down. Like everybody just can calm down here.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Well, that's like the common denominator. It's like they just don't know how to chill in that language.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Yo, man, just be chill.
Well, just like the Germans, they're the worst. They got no chill.
Nah. They made for such good bad guys because of that. They're just badass, and they would just scream crazy German and be just angry as fuck.
Du hast mich.
I love that song.
Du hast mich, du Frau. Du hast mich, du Frau.
If any song made you want to conjure the devil, it was that song.
I'm
impressed you know this.
You're supposed to say, nein. Nein.
There is some sinister black death rock tones going on in the background here.
I'm kind of all about some Rammstein.
I never really got into them after that song.
Nah, dude, really?
Never followed the Rammstein
train. Well, what are you doing later tonight? Because I think that's...
Wow, you're just going to jam some Rammstein?
Well, I mean...
Let's go and hit their fucking discography from Du hast.
Dude, you don't know about, like, Lynx? You don't know about of that?
No.
So you know, like, one Rammstein song.
The Rammstein.
You know, Du hast.
I know the public friendly version, yes.
Nah, it's not even the good one too.
So you gotta go underwater for
it. Yeah, it's you got that synth line. It's good.
Alright. I like them. They're very demonic. They're right up my alley.
Yeah, man. It's like if Andrew WK was actually mean.
Yeah, that's wow. And pretty deep.
Little industrial Andrew WK was influenced by them though, for sure. Like he's got that like I don't know. Probably not even. I'm making things up now.
I like it, though.
Now I'm just making things up.
Anything goes here at Ono After Dark.
Who would win in a fight, Simon or Garfunkel?
Actually, I think Garfunkel would. I think Paul Simon acts real big and mighty, and I think Art Garfunkel has a creator's strength that would just like erupt through him like the Incredible Hulk, and he would just beat the fuck out of Paul Simon.
Paul Simon's a stone cold killer, man.
Fuck him.
Yeah, he'd fucking knife pretty what? Precious old Garfunkel.
He would knife Garfunkel.
He would knife him. You know he would.
What?
You know he would.
I don't think Art Garfunkel would just lay down and take it, man. He'd fight Paul Simon.
He's a bit of a bitch.
He'd maybe try to claw his eyeballs out.
Nah, dude. I'm not into it.
Mm-mm. Like a bridge over troubled Art Garfunkel's fists. He'd be beating some ass, dude.
Who would win?
It would not be lay down, just give up kind of thing.
Who would win in a fight between Art Garfunkel and the guy from Rammstein?
Wow. Definitely Art Garfunkel.
Definitely.
Because I think Art Garfunkel was summoned like Cthulhu or some shit at that point.
I feel like the guy from Rammstein would just be like, why am I in this?
Oh, shit, you're Art Garfunkel. Can I have your autograph?
Why am I in this fight right now?
And then Art Garfunkel would just stab him in the neck or something.
Yeah. See?
And just completely taken by surprise. And then hit the high harmony.
We're both into like the stabby thing tonight. Why are we into stabby things?
Stabby things brought to you by Golden Road Brewery, right on IPA.
You're into, okay, we'll leave on this.
Well, maybe we'll break. I'm still talking. It's verbal diarrhea tonight.
We'll break. But, okay, let me tell you about this. You know how usually, like, we know what our version of teabagging is, right? Like, we have...
There's the idea, yes.
Okay, like, teabagging.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
All right. That's putting your nuts...
On a person's face.
We all know that. They have a different version of this that I learned about in the UK in the prison system. Oof. You know what teabagging is there?
Is it worse or better?
Thing about this, it's way worse. I'd actually rather have someone's nuts put on my head than this happen.
Oh my god, I feel like we should just leave with that. We'll come back with the answer.
No, we're gonna tell it. So, you know how tea bags are,
I have the visual.
Well, they're perforated quite heavily. Right?
To release.
There's a lot of tiny holes in that. Mm. That's what teabagging is in jail. It's being stabbed so many times that you have that many perforations, like a teabag.
Wow. Yeah, shivved.
Yeah, basically like as many times as you can possibly do. Stab.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's a terrifying way to go out here on this break. While you all can think about maybe somebody shivving you.
I just thought, now that I'm in Atlanta and really hard... I thought I would.
You have. You've switched it on.
That's what I learned here in Atlanta.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to you, sir.
We gonna do another one of these? Or
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe people will get lucky and they'll get a part two.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe a one-off. This was fun.
Either way. Oh no at night, baby.
Oh no at night.